Yeah, Lord, we thank you for Alex and yeah, just for the heart that you've given her, this vision for older people who are passionate about you all the way through their life. And we just pray this morning for us, a mixed group of people, mixed ages. Would we be ready to hear what it is you want to say to us today? Help us to be ready to step up and do the things that we feel you're wanting to do in our church, Lord. Amen.
Right, this reading is from Luke 2, starting at verse 22. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Peniel, the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's such a delight to be here for the whole morning with you all today. I've met some of you before, and it's great to hang out with a few more of you today. I'm here this morning with my husband, Guy, and we only got married in March, and we've been on quite the adventure since then. We did pop to the Maldives for our honeymoon, and I'm not sure about staying back for Enfest instead, but I love the vigour that is shown, and yes, the enthusiasm for that. One of the places that our adventures have taken us to only 3 weeks ago was the big church festival. Has anybody heard of it? Anybody go? Yay! Some people went. Brilliant. Well, you who've been and even those who have heard will know that 35,000 Christians gathered to worship Jesus and be revived again for what God would do next in our lives. It was a fantastic time of worship. But one of the things we noticed, and I wonder if you guys noticed it too, is that almost every stage we went to worship, mentioned this thing called the Quiet Revival. Have you heard of it?
Yeah.
If you haven't, it is a recent report from the Bible Society, and where they've discovered that there has been a delightful upsurge in the number of young people coming to know Jesus. Hallelujah. This is what we've been praying for decades now. So it's great to see this happening. There was huge excitement across all ages about this. We cheered them on in prayer and with great expectation. Young people full of the fire of revival. They were believing passionately, and we were believing it with them, that they had been redeemed by God's love, that they would be revived in the Spirit, that they would constantly be renewed in the hope of Jesus throughout their lives, and that they had been released into God's mission to storm the camp of the enemy and to set the captives free. It was around about the time when this field erupted with thousands of people singing, "The world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back," that I began to pray. I began to pray that they would still believe it so passionately when they got home, that they would still believe it so passionately in 10 years from now, that they would carry this revival fire in their hearts for the next 20, 30, 50, 70, God willing, we're an aging population, even for the next 90 years. Because I know, and some of you will know, that keeping this revival fire for Jesus blazing in our hearts through all of life's challenges, it's not going to be easy for them. And it hasn't always been easy for us. And of course, at Faith in Later Life, we are aware that some of the ordinary challenges of life are actually compounded the longer we are on life's journey. The things that older people experience in addition to everything else is multiple bereavements, increasing health needs, and a decreasing sense of belonging and purpose. Can that fire on the field hold through all that? Well, the Bible says it can. And not only that it can hold, but it is expected that it would. It is the norm that we can hold this fire for Jesus in our hearts until we see him face to face. Let's have a look at what Psalm 92 says to us. It says this: "The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, 'The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him.'" God's plan is that we will know righteousness, that we will know growth, that we will know flourishing, and that we will know fruit bearing all the way from the moment we first knew Jesus until we are with him in heaven. Anna and Simeon are great examples to us of people who've managed to do that. And we're going to explore a little bit just about how they've done that. I've whittled things down into four R's, and please do show the slide. We're not keeping any secrets about where I'm heading. Let's have a look at this first thing, that we need to remember that we are redeemed by God's love. We've just been celebrating communion together. The reminder that we were lost in our transgressions. We had no hope at all of ever having our relationship with God restored. And God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, to have his body broken for our wholeness, and to have his blood spilled so that we could be cleansed from our sins. God has redeemed us. It's massive. And I think perhaps over time we can begin to take it for granted. Or we can perhaps begin to wonder, does he still love me? I can see that he loved me when I was fabulous and 19. Does he still love me today? Yes, he does. He chose you from before the foundations of the earth. It says in the Bible, he will love us with an everlasting love. And so his love for us is complete through every age and stage of life. Let me tell you about my friend John. John had the privilege of being married to a faithful believer in Jesus. However, for the first 50 years of their marriage, this did not convince him to follow Jesus. And he remained resistant to all her love and all God's goodness through her. And then after he retired, in those years that followed, he began to reflect and he began to wonder. And he began to ask the question, is there more to life than this? And so in his mid-70s, he rocked up at my online alpha course. You should have seen him. He arrived, arms folded, not really looking. It's hard to make eye contact on Zoom anyway. But he was clearly determined not to like a thing that he was going to hear. And yet, as the weeks went on, he came to know and receive and believe God's redeeming love for him. Not just for his wife, who he thought was wonderful and could do no wrong, but his love for John. John himself was the object of God's love, and John came to experience that in his 70s. It is never too late to say yes to Jesus, and it's never too early either. If you're here today, and you don't yet know Jesus, you haven't yet claimed God's redeeming love for yourself, I'm so thrilled that you're here. And like Matt said earlier, if that's you and you would like to explore a bit more about that redeeming love, is it really for you? Well, I can say straight away, it is. And when I first explored faith, I wondered too, gosh, Lord, can you really forgive my sins? Does it really apply to me? And yes, it did. But I'll leave you to chat with Matt and the others some more. Or you can come and talk to me if it's helpful to talk with a stranger. Anna and Simeon were very much revived in the Spirit. And they had different experiences. Simeon, it says, had the Spirit on him. He received revelation from the Spirit. The Spirit moved him, and he was righteous and devout. And for Anna, we hear that she spent night and day in the temple, worshipping, fasting, and praying, stirring up her faith. And that was such a lovely thing to be reminded. We often don't hear this story other than at Christmas, and it's so nice to hear it in September, isn't it? But what we need to remember about both Anna and Simeon is that they were very old, and they would have had all the same complexities of life that we have all gone through, but in different ways. And they would have now some health needs and different things at the later stages of life. This didn't stop Simeon being spirit-led. He didn't let his emotions or his discomfort lead him. He was led only by the Spirit. And for Anna, you know, she was a widow and she was old. And in those times, if you were a widow, so female, and you were old, you were also poor. And so she would have had tremendous struggles. She'd been a widow for a very long time, it says. So she would have had struggles over a long period of time. But none of those led her to retreat from worshipping God. In fact, quite the opposite. They led her, her problems led her to surge forward to worship God. My in-laws are a marvellous example to me of what it is to be revived in the Spirit. Wearing a fringe, you have to look out for my mother-in-law because she will anoint me with oil without notice, and then I've got greasy hair for the rest of the day. But they are wonderfully filled with the Spirit. They continue to believe what we should all believe, that there is no limit to our relationship with God. Even in their 80s, they're still surging forward to know him better, to love him more, and to worship him. They are constantly in prayer and devotion. They go to the gatherings. They're rereading. My father-in-law was telling me recently, I'm going back through the Gospels. Well, I wonder at 87 or whatever, how many times has he already read the Gospels? He must know them by now. And yet he knows that God is always doing a new thing. Anna and Simeon were also renewed in hope. Simeon had waited for a long time for what God had said to him to happen. We don't know how long, but God had said to him, Simeon, you will not die until you've seen the Messiah. He didn't wait passively, because he could have missed it if he'd been passive. He waited actively, fully expecting that God really would do it. And if he was breathing, it could still happen at any time. And of course, we know that it did. For Anna, I've no idea what her hope was. Does anybody here know what her hope was? Doesn't say, does it? Doesn't tell us in the text. I tell you one thing, though. Her hope was abundantly exceeded. Whatever her worldly little hope might have been, it was exceeded. She did not know that on that day, at the age of 84, living in the temple, worshipping night and day, that she would get to behold the Messiah with her own eyes. She didn't know that. Hope exceeded. Moments earlier, Simeon had sung this beautiful song over Mary and Joseph, but one of the things that he said in that is that Mary's soul would one day be pierced on account of this beautiful little bundle. Mary had no idea then that a day would come where she would stand under the shadow of the cross and have her soul pierced. But God knew. And in that moment, he appointed Anna to step alongside Mary as she received this bewildering news. Exceeded expectations. Thirdly, Anna then went out and told anybody who would listen about Jesus. At the age of 84, old, widowed, poor, didn't even have her own home, lived in the temple, God appointed her to be what we believe is one of the first women evangelists in the Bible, right towards the end of her life, doing a new thing. Appointed, anointed for now. I wonder what your long-awaited hope is. I wonder if you believe it can still happen. I encourage you to resurrect your hopes from the ashes, knowing that God can do it. It may not look how we think it will look. God could very well exceed our expectations. So let us lean into prayer. Let us lean into the leading of God's Spirit and see what God may yet do. Anna and Simeon were released into God's mission. This fire of revival that we're witnessing throughout the country at the moment, that we've experienced for ourselves, and I pray that we might experience it on a daily and constant basis. This fire is not simply to keep us warm. It is not there simply to make us feel good or to give us a rosy glow. God has a purpose for us. And God's purpose in personal revival is the advancement of his kingdom. The Bible says that God wants none to perish. Everybody is called into this mission that he has, and there is no end by date to the Great Commission. It is not something we stop when we get our pensions. It is not something we stop when we first have that extended hospital stay. It is not something we stop when our cognition begins to decline. We are called for life, to declare Jesus and make him known. Anna and Simeon's personal revival positioned them beautifully for mission in later life. Anna's purpose, although she ended up doing a lot more than that, was to proclaim Christ. Simeon's purpose was to confirm that this babe in arms was indeed the Messiah. We have this call on our lives. We have this plentiful harvest out there and not enough hands to bring it in. The workers are few, and we need everybody to help. We cannot let age limit our calling. And some of us will have to help those who are older to live out that calling now. It's going to look different now than it did 40 years ago. Of course it is. The big stage evangelist, now living in a care home, will be responding differently to that call on his life now, living in a care home, than he did 60 years ago. But the fire and the call remains. How can we help him to share Jesus with his care workers, to share Jesus with his visitors and other people's visitors, is what usually happens too. You are still deployed on God's glorious mission to make disciples. Let me tell you about Stan. He was 88, I believe. He'd stopped serving in the church years ago. You know, it kind of happens. You stop being rotated. Maybe he'd been ill for a couple of weeks and he was no longer invited to rejoin. And there he was, still loving his church family, in church one Sunday morning. And the minister at the front said, "We really need some more men in the 2 to 4 year old Sunday school. We've got a lot of little boys in that group, and we'd really like some men to come and read them stories about Jesus." And Stan told me that in that moment, I felt the Holy Spirit, fire revived, say to me, "Stan, that is you. You go and read to them." And since then, Stan is in that little boys, or and girls, I'm sure, Sunday school group, telling those little ones that Jesus loves them. He was still released in God's mission, but in a new way. Liz had been, I got talking to Liz, this older lady, and she said, "Oh, I've been serving in the toddler group for 30 years. "Oh, wonderful, congratulations, Liz." "Yeah, I told the leadership team that I couldn't do it anymore." And I thought, okay, well, you know, why? She said, "Yeah, I'm not safe on my legs anymore. It's not safe for me to serve the coffees anymore." And in my mind, and bearing in mind, I'm supposed to be leading this charity called Faith in Later Life, I thought, all I could think is, well, I hope they bought her flowers and said a proper thank you. Anyway, she wasn't finished. She was still talking. She said, "Yeah, so the leadership team then said to me, 'So Liz, if you can't serve the coffees at toddlers, what would you like to do?'" And I just thought that was so inspired that they asked her, because what Liz said, and she'd already decided in her head anyway what she wanted to do, she said, "Well, I'd like to go and sit over there on the craft table and make crafts with the children and the parents." And so she didn't have a bunch of flowers because she's still serving. She gets to sit with the mums and dads and grandparents and the toddlers, making crafts and telling them how Jesus loves them. I want to put a punt in for seniors' work, if I may. Older people are often best placed to share Jesus with their contemporaries. Nobody has lived the life that they have other than those who are closest to them in age, perhaps. And so older people make brilliant seniors' workers. We have such a challenge to share Jesus with those older ones who don't yet know him. There's a lot of barriers that need to be broken through. We need to get smart at how we do this, and we need to equip our older friends in the church to do that, to evangelize, to minister, to continue to make brand new, meaningful relationships with older people. My friend Judy was invited into that ministry at the age of 83. She actually ended up leading that ministry. God was doing a new thing. She'd supported her husband in his ministry for all his life. And then he died, and she was a widow, and she was wondering, Lord, what will you have me do now? And he called her up to be a leader at 83, and she does a brilliant job helping older people in the community to know Jesus. We cannot afford to lose a single one of you from this ministry of bringing the harvest in. However young you are, or however old you are, whatever is going on with you, I loved what the lady from Welton Springs said earlier about we sometimes only see people for what they can or can't do. And that happens with older people too. How about we concentrate on what people can do and not worry so much about what they can't? How about you explore with God what you can do and not so much what you can't? So to conclude, just to remind us, we need to know God's redeeming love. Know your worth. Do you really know how precious you are? Revisit the gospel. Revisit your testimony. Or if you haven't yet, come to Jesus. Secondly, be revived in the Spirit. God says that a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. While the embers are glowing, we can invite God to breathe on them and fan our fire into flame. Be renewed in hope. God will have the final say. It doesn't always look like we want it to, but we have to trust that he knows best. Return to prayer and return to the actions that God is calling you to. And lastly, be released in God's mission. How is God calling you to participate in God's disciple-making mission today? This world needs you. This community needs you. Ask him how. Tell the leaders here what you feel God's saying to you, and go and do it. Let me pray for us as we finish. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you chose us from before the foundations of the earth. Before you threw a single star in the sky, you chose us and you loved us, and you will love us with an everlasting love until we see you face to face. Lord, help us to really know your love for us. Revive us in the Spirit. Renew us in hope for what you can yet do, and help us to step into your mission to storm the camp of the enemy and bring the captives home. In Jesus' name.